2 Chronicles 35. Here we've got the account of one of the most amazing Passovers ever kept, where Josiah is absolutely careful to keep this exactly as it should be kept. He's very careful to do it absolutely perfectly. And he does. And yet the chapter concludes with Josiah dying in disobedience. He is told not to go and fight at Megiddo, but he disguises himself, goes into battle, just like Ahab did, defying God's prophetic word to do so, and he is hit by a stray arrow and is killed. That's exactly what happened to Ahab, king of Israel. He clearly failed to hear God's word. He clearly failed to see the pattern that Ahab had set, and he failed to learn from it. Just as it is a very common human failure to not learn from history. And history may indeed be bunk, but biblical history is not bunk, because these incidents are recorded so that we might realize that man is not alone and that my situation is not totally unique, but there is biblical precedent. I am treading a path that in principle has been trodden before. And this is the value of reading the Bible, even when you may not, as it were, get anything out of the record you're reading at the time. You fire it away, and then suddenly something comes up out of left field in life, and you see, wow, the similarity. Well, he had been promised in chapter 34 that he would come to his grave in peace, but in fact he dies in battle, and I think that's an example of God making statements about the future which are conditional upon human behaviour. Like he says, in 40 days Nineveh shall be destroyed, but it wasn't, because they repented. There's a gap between the pronouncement and the fulfillment, and we live in that gap. As God says in Jeremiah, if I speak something good or bad about a nation or a person, if they then change, if they repent or go into evil, then what I said won't happen. He's very clear about that. There is this conditional nature to the future. And this is what gives life its meaning, that we live in that gap and nothing is going to happen automatically. God has structured his whole purpose that whilst there is biblical prophecy on one hand, there is also absolute human free will on the other. And that is why it is, in my opinion, facile and impossible to create a chronology of events that will happen in the last days. The Bible prophecies about those events are apparently contradictory in terms of their chronology. I don't think it's that somebody has actually worked out the right chronology. Some of the best minds I know have engaged with doing that and didn't do it, didn't come up with anything. But I think why that is because so much depends on various human free will factors. How quickly will Israel repent? How quickly will we take the gospel into all the world? How quickly will there be enough fruit on the tree, as it were, of God's people for the harvest to be declared ripe and ready to be reaped? All these factors are open factors. So just going on that theme a bit more about the openness of God, and going back to this great Passover that Josiah keeps. Well, at the end of chapter 34, verse 25, God has uttered a terrible judgment upon the people that they're going to be judged for their sins. And I think that by doing this Passover like he did, Josiah was trying to change that. Yeah, he does appeal, chapter 34, verse 30, for all the people to enter covenant with Yahweh from their hearts. And I think he's trying to confirm them in that by holding this huge Passover. And the king himself, verse 7, Josiah himself, of the king's substance, gave to the children of the people of the flock, lambs, young goats, for Passover offerings, 30,000. Now the people were intended to bring their own Passover lambs, but they hadn't. So Josiah just gives them to them. It's as if he's trying to force through the repentance of the people and giving them offerings for them to offer. Verse 8, his princes gave for a freewill offering to the people so much. And yet you can't give freewill offerings for others. But clearly that's what they were trying to do, to give other people freewill offerings. Well, verse 12, they did all this as it is written in the book of Moses. They're very careful to obey everything. And this was the most obediently kept Passover, I suppose. They did everything, verse 13, according to the ordinance. They boiled the holy offerings in pots, carried them quickly to all the children of the people, etc. But it didn't ultimately work, because you cannot force other people to be righteous. You cannot force other people's free will. And so I think that this really shows that spirituality has to be personal. Josiah, however, does realize that God's purpose is to some degree open, and that third parties can affect the fate of others who are under judgment. You think of the paralyzed man brought to Jesus. Mark 2, verse 5, when Jesus saw the faith of the friends, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." James 5, where if you pray for another, you can bring about the forgiveness of his sins and save a soul from their sins. That's what it says. In some cases. And I think that's what Josiah was trying to do here. But as I say, that same theme of this openness of God, you see repeated, really, by the fact that Josiah does not die in peace, as God told him he would in chapter 34. He dies in battle, because he's been totally disobedient to God's word. And he's failed to see the similarities with Ahab. He goes charging in, disguised himself, didn't listen to the words of Necho from the mouth of God, verse 22. And he's hit like Ahab with a stray arrow. So this is what gives almost the wonder to living with God, that he is so open, that he is so willing to engage with us. In all our weakness, he is so eager to engage. And he will mould and alter, as it were, the outworking of his plans in accordance with human free will.